Olaf is now giving out warm hugs at Hollywood Studios, so you can stop getting them from strange older men at the writer's stuff.
Looking at you, Nick.
Tickets for the Halloween party at the Magic Kingdom are more than a one-day ticket. I'd make a joke, but I'm still laughing about this. We're celebrating food and wine and Star Wars all in one night tonight. So basically, it's Carrie Fisher's career. You've read WDW News Tonight. Now you'll listen to WDW News Tonight. Put my name up so you know who I am. And in case you don't, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to WDW News Tonight. And as Yoda might say, you are not Tom Corliss, I am.
I don't know if that's what he'd say.
It is. I know these things. Joining me, Nick Lacicero, the creepy guy from Writer's Stop over there. You can see him in the live stream. There he is. And happy May the 4th. Happy Star Wars Day.
Yeah, may the 4th be with you. It's been a wonderful day so far.
It has. How did you celebrate?
by making some green, hopefully, in the way of Yoda. I don't know. But I wish I got out to Hollywood Studios to take part in all the festivities. Merchandise.
Right? It wasn't a festivity, but everyone knows me and you by now. Yeah, we wanted to buy stuff, but we got the pin.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna get the figure, but the other stuff I think I'm gonna withhold this year.
Yeah, I'm good withholding. There's a lot. See,
I bought the big fig this morning from DisneyStore.com. I bought the Boba. They sold this Boba Fett limited edition figure. I bought the Rey one a couple months ago, as you know. So you know, I got the Boba Fett. I kind of like them.
There's so much Star Wars stuff out there right now. It's okay to like chill a little bit, not necessarily buy everything that comes out with the logo on there.
I draw the line somewhere.
I do wish there was maybe a little bit more festivity, but I guess it's just part of the park now. So
yeah, which is why Star Wars Weekends is gone. That's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah,
but you know, Nick, Bob Iger's calling today something a little different. Bob Iger called it maybe the 4th, as in maybe that's when we could afford to pay our employees. Thanks, Shanghai.
Oh, God.
No?
There you go.
Nick, and now the news brought to you by TeePublic.
Yeah, don't forget to shop apparel and accessories for Disney fans. That's a long gong. Still going. For Disney fans, throughout WDWNT.com and TeePublic. Just go to WDWNT.com and click the TeePublic link. We make it very easy for you. You can shop from hundreds of designs for t-shirts, phone cases, prints, and more, including exclusive WDW News Today logo. News Today? Yeah, News Today logo apparel and original creations, such as the Hollywood Studios Hard Hats March Tragic Team shirt. Very popular one there right now. And the latest release, California Bears, celebrating the Country Bear Jamboree Vacation Hoedown. You can even get a WDW News Tonight shirt or phone case or whatever you may want. And you had the phone case. You got yours, and it's a good quality phone case.
I really love it. It's like a double layer. It's got this rubber layer around the phone, but then there's then this hard layer over it. I was kind of, and I'll be honest, even though we have to deal with them, I'll be very honest with everybody, you worry about the quality of this stuff, but I got to tell you, I got the shirts and the phone case in last week, and I'm honestly very surprised and happy with the overall quality. I'm telling you the truth. I swear in my own life that I'm really thoroughly impressed with the quality. It's very, very nice, especially for the price.
Very cool. So head over to WDWNT.com, click on that TeePublic link, and see what you like.
And Jason and I actually were talking about it before the show came on the air. Jason went over the actual sale numbers, and Jason couldn't believe they are what they are. And we sold a ton of T-shirts. So thank you, everyone, so far who has purchased, and we look forward to bringing you more cool stuff, and there'll be more sales coming up and stuff, so stay tuned.
Yeah, people are buying them. Thank you very much for doing that.
But we have very little time to do the news, so let's do the news, shall we? Starting today at Hollywood Studios, guests can share a warm hug with Olaf from Disney's Frozen, whether they want it or not. You can choose. Entering on Echo Lakeside, guests can head to Celebrity Spotlight to meet Olaf. The new experience features the lovable snowman with a fun summer backdrop. But don't worry, Rivers of Light isn't behind him, so it's an accurate summer backdrop. according to Disney, the character meeting in this location will rotate every few months, but there has not been any word yet how long Olaf is going to be there, and then when he will be replaced by Guardians of the Galaxy. We don't know. We don't know yet. The location situated between the Star Tours area restrooms and the Star Wars Path of the Jedi film does not offer Fastpass Plus, so you might as well not even bother. No, I'm joking. You'll probably want to get there early if you want to meet.
I'm sure you have to.
Yeah. Then, right around the corner, a new Mickey and Minnie meet and greet is going to open at Hollywood Studios. Mickey and Minnie starring in Red Carpet Dreams.
Exciting.
Yes, here you'll discover Mickey and Minnie Mouse living the dream as A-list Hollywood stars. There's a picture of Olaf now.
Look at that. Everybody. Very sunshiny.
But let's see. Can we see Mickey and Minnie? Can we see those, Jason? I'll get to those shortly. Here you could walk the red carpet. And look at us browsing WWNT.com.
I'm sure it's on there.
This is your day every day. Yes, making us... traffic. Anyway, here you'll discover Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse living the dream as A-list Hollywood stars. Walk the red carpet and step right into a scene with Minnie where she appears as Tinseltown starlet. And true to real life, she'll be laying on the floor from a drug overdose. And there go the listeners. They're leaving now. There they go. Nope, she's fine. She'll be appearing
Lohan?
In a lush and colorful musical extravaganza, like maybe Footlight Parade. Next, join Mickey in a scene from Fantasia where he's portraying his iconic role as a Sorcerer's Apprentice, because there has to be one Sorcerer's hat just to piss off fanboys.
Wow.
Mickey and Minnie, starring a red carpet stream, opened on Sunday, May 8th. Meanwhile, Olaf's going to be appearing somewhere else from Frozen, as well as Kristoff going to be appearing with the Frozen Games.
Excited about this.
At Disney's Blizzard Beach Water Park this summer. The opening ceremony for the games will be hosted, of course, by Michelle Obama and Prince Harry.
Tom, I think that's a different event.
That's not the Frozen
Games? No. No.
Whatever.
So you're thinking of something else.
All right, we don't have time. Anyway. May 27th, it's going to start, run through August 21st. Frozen Friends will invite guests visiting Blizzard Beach to join Team Kristoff or Team Olaf as they become part of the Civil War.
I think you got that one wrong, too.
I'm never wrong, Nick. Do you remember last week? No one proved me wrong.
Whatever. We'll get there eventually.
So each day as part of the Civil War, guests can participate in a variety of winter-themed activities, including ice pail relays, where teams line up and pass pails of water to one another, trying to be the first to fill another container. Snowball toss, where pairs compete in a snow-themed water balloon toss. Ski pole limbo, a snowy twist on traditional limbo, using a ski pole as the limbo bar, so you know there's a higher chance of being impaled. And slide races, where you just go down a slide. Olaf and Kristoff, of course, will be on hand, appearing on the observation deck to take part in the opening and closing ceremonies every day, giving updates on team's progress as the day goes on. The Frozen Games will be an all-day event that guests can sign up for when they arrive at the park entrance. And I know what you're saying, great, more pre-planning. The event will cost $150 per guest. No, it won't. It's included with park admission. It's not a... separate ticket event. Calm down. But more on that later. Nick's already lighting up the phone lines. I don't know what's going on over there. But I'll keep going. Force for Change merchandise has returned. What's going on over there, Nick? You're already lighting up the phone lines over there. Anyway. Force for Change. You know they could see you now, right? Like, it's not the radio show anymore.
Well, I hate this camera.
Yeah, anyway. Force for Change merchandise returned to Disney Parks today. It's your very first chance to own a piece of apparel from Rogue One. These shirts are the first products, of course, for the new film created for Disney Parks and come in styles for men, women, children, and any fans in between. Whatever that might mean. 25% of the retail price of this product, it's nice, goes to the U.S. Fund for UNICEF, yep, in support of UNICEF Kid Power. The other 75% goes to finishing Shanghai Disneyland and erasing the graffiti and cleaning out the planters over there from the recent crowds. These items will not be available, of course, in the Disney Parks online store or the Shop Disney Parks mobile app. Rogue One, a Star Wars story, will revolve around a rogue band of resistant fighters who decided one Star Wars movie every other year just wasn't enough. And the film arrives in theaters December 16th, 2016, which is still before the opening of Pandora, the world of Avatar. And Nick is preoccupied. We're going to wait for Nick to come back. Maybe. Nick, I said Rogue One. It's going to come out before the opening of Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Avatar joke of the week. I'm sorry. I have to answer the phones.
Hey, Nick, you know what? That new, yet still pretty much unannounced DVC wing coming to Wilderness Lodge?
I do.
It has a name. Cocker. That's not the name.
I think it's Cooper Creek.
No, it's not Cooper Creek. It's Cooper. You're the Cooper
Creek. Copper.
What's the name of this thing? Copper Creek Cabins and Villas at Disney's Wilderness Lodge. Cooper Creek. What is Copper Creek, Cooper Creek, or any of the things I just said? Well, it's a name derived from the Copper River in Alaska, which produces salmon that are served for a short period of time at the Artist Point restaurant. So if this is to be believed, it should have an Alaskan theme to every room.
That would be quaint.
Yes, every room even has a virtual window where Sarah Palin will appear to point out Russia.
And I can see Russia from my house.
Disney has yet to make a formal announcement on the project, but construction, of course, has begun. Very quickly, got one more story left. This is on WWNT.com, broke this afternoon. Nick is still, like, crying over there. The new ticket prices came out for the Halloween and Christmas party, and it's insane. There's all kinds of non-discount. There's all nights where you can't even get advance purchase ticket discounts. It's really insane. But in brief, we'll go over it more later, but in brief, the Halloween party on Halloween night is $105 a ticket. That's $3 more than admission to the park during the day. This is the first time this has ever happened. But as they said on Maelstrom, nor shall it be the last, I'm sure. In addition, there are now more DVC discount nights for parties than there are for annual pass holder discount nights. So that's right, annual pass holders, you suck.
Oh.
The good news is you can now buy a $150 discount card to buy discount party tickets.
Wow.
Oh, wait, that's Tables in Wonderland. I'm sorry. You can't do that. All right, that's enough
that's
for the news.
The
Nick,
news. All right.
Nick, last week we talked about Skipper Canteen.
Yes.
And we talked about the, quote-unquote, dumbing down of the menu. So we wanted to find last week a expert of some kind who could help us talk about this and maybe give us a better idea of...
Hopefully, after all that Cooper Creek thing, our expert's still on the line.
Yeah.
We want to welcome Scott Joseph to the line. Scott Joseph has the Orlando Restaurant Guide online. You can find him at scottjosephorlando.com. He used to be the food critic for the Orlando Sentinel, so he knows all about food here in Orlando, and he is joining us tonight to talk a little bit about some eating habits for some tourists at the Disney park. So, Scott, thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
So the first thing is, and you've eaten at Skipper Canteen, so you're familiar with the menu.
Yes, I am. I was there recently.
And what's funny is Nick pulled up your review earlier. Nick, you don't have that in front of you, do you?
I don't have it in front of me, but you basically said exactly what we were thinking. You kind of foreshadowed the fact that Disney might have to change the menu because these tastes might be too exotic for guests.
Yeah, you know, that's been a problem all along. But along the same lines, though, I'm kind of impressed that they're offering some things that are out of the comfort zone for a lot of people, like fish collar. There are not a lot of people who are going to go in there and want a fish collar on their plate because it's quite an extraordinary looking cut of fish. So you know, I guess little steps you can get people to start trying new things, but the reality is, we've got 66 million people coming to this area every year, and you can't please everyone.
Yeah, so what's funny is the first time I ordered, they call it the head-on shrimp. It's shrimp, but it still has the head on it. The first time I ordered the waiter asked me several times, are you sure you want this? You know they still have the heads on it. I was like, yeah, I'm okay with it.
What part of heads-on shrimp don't you really understand?
But again, I'm sure there's some guest who before that probably had this waiter, and it came to them, and they were probably like, "What is this? There's a face on my food."
Yeah, sure, of course. That's exactly what's happened. The waiter is tired of taking things back to the kitchen and having to explain to the chef that these people didn't know that the heads would be on the heads on shrimp.
Mm. Well, also,
the same thing happens in restaurants that serve like a whole snapper. Mm. They get the fish presented in front of you, and they've got an eyeball in the head of the shrimp. You know, big news, folks. Fish have eyeballs.
I've also heard that and Tom, you and I have experienced this, where they take some of the spice out of a dish that has been, definitely a hotter dish. When we try it originally, we go back to the same place to try it, yeah. And they kind of, for lack of a better word, dumbed it down a little bit. They took the spice out of it.
Yeah, that's quite frequent. And that was the case at Jungle Skipper, that... the soup that I, the entree soup that was kind of like a Vietnamese pho, that it just didn't have the kind of spicing that you would expect in that kind of a soup. So, you know, on one hand, they're taking strides to maybe educate people, but on the other hand, they also don't want to throw food away.
Yeah. So you've been working this beat for a long time. What are some of the trends you've seen in all the time you've been covering food in this town?
Yeah, beginning next week, I start my 29th year in reviewing restaurants in Central Florida.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've seen a lot of places come and go. You know, have you tried out? Have you been to a few of the places when they open at the Walt Disney World Resort? Like, have you?
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, how about the history? How, like, where has that come in the past 30 years?
Well, it's cycled quite a bit. I think the high point was the early 90s, when late 80s, early 90s, when Dieter Hanig was hired on and did something very bold and counter to how things were being run at Disney at that time. At that time, before Dieter Hanig came in, if a chef at a restaurant wanted to change a menu, basically had to go to committee throughout the, you know, a one committee that would run all the restaurants. So if a chef wanted to try something new, he or she couldn't just put it on the menu that night. They had to present it to a committee, and they'd present it to another committee, and they'd talk about it, and, you know, suddenly the term market fresh doesn't make any sense anymore, because it was fresh back then when he first started talking about it, but now it's out of season.
Yeah.
But Dieter came in, and he took the top-tier restaurant. We won't talk about we won't include Victoria and Alberts in that, because they're in a category all by themselves. But the California Grill, Flying Fish Cafe, Citrico's, he told, and maybe two or three other ones, Flying Fish, he told them that the chef and the manager treat this restaurant like it's your own, like you own it, like you're running it. And so that gave the chefs the freedom to try new things, to put things on the menu that they didn't have to go and get approval for. And that really changed things. Mm-hmm. Just like many other businesses, that all stopped around 2008 when that thing happened. What do you call it? Oh, the recession. you know, it just people had to cut back, including Walt Disney World, and suddenly all the restaurants seem to be serving the same thing. You go in and you find the same seared scallop dish there, and you know, go across the park and you'd find the exact same thing. So yeah. I don't think we've quite recovered from that yet. I'm waiting for, of course, Dieter left around 2008 as well. I'm waiting for the new regime to come, who's come in, Beth Scott. I think she's terrific. I think she's going to help move things back to where they were. The economy getting better is going to help. And I'm looking forward to things once again being destination restaurants. And, you know, that's something else that, that really changed things with locals is the whole Disney dining plan.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that locals would clamor to go out to California Grill or Flying Fish Cafe for a special occasion. But with the Disney dining plan, those last-minute reservations were almost impossible to get.
Yeah. And it's funny, so say now things seem to be happening, and now they media's picked up quite a bit on this. They're doing that test kitchen they have now, which is sort of going to be where they're going to, you know, build these menus from the ground up. That on top of, obviously, Disney Springs has a lot of new concepts for them, a burger restaurant, things like that. Skipper Canteen only opened a few months ago. Obviously, they're changing the menu now, but nonetheless, you know, something pretty different from anything they've had before, at least in Magic Kingdom. So you think they're going to try and be creative again? Or
I hope they are. You know, they have to understand, even as I said, that with 66 million people, you can't please everyone. I think they need to take that literally and begin saying that, okay, if we're going to have a restaurant that specializes in foods of Asia, we can't misrepresent the foods of Asia. Make it a teaching moment. Yes, reinforce that the shrimp are going to have heads on them. That's how it's done with this culture. And let the guests choose. And I would support if someone said, "Oh, I didn't know they would have the heads on the heads on shrimp." I would support the manager coming over and saying, "I'm sorry, but that's what you ordered." and you know, I think we think this is a terrific dish. It's something that pleases people from who know this type of cuisine. And I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it, but I hope you'll come back and try something else.
Now, I do like the idea of going to a different region and trying that region's food, but like I think when you go someplace other than a theme park, that's what you kind of expect. I feel that guests coming to the theme park want that kind of fantasy experience, but not quite. Like they still want a comfortable meal that they know they're going to like after running around a theme park all day. Do you think?
That's why Le Cellier is one of the most popular restaurants in Epcot. It's steak.
Yeah.
You know what are you? It, you know, okay. Oh, we're going to exotic Canada. It's steak. So that's what you're going to get. And they just line up for it.
Yeah.
Is there ever something that do you think it's possible to kind of change guests' expectations, or do you think they really, I mean, it comes down to where it's a business, right? And they're just going to have to cater to what they can sell.
It is. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I know people personally who just will not try anything new, who just refuse to step out of their comfort zone. And, you know, that's what you're going to have when people come to the parks. And so you've got the burgers, you've got the bland pastas, you know, put a marinara on it and suddenly it's exotic for them. You know, that's as far outside of their American cuisine that they want to try. But I think they need to step up and educate, especially when you've got a venue like Epcot that is supposedly representing cuisines of the world. You just can't dumb down in those situations.
Yeah.
I know we don't have too much time left, but do you believe Epcot does a valid job at that, or would you say they could do better?
There are some that do a valid job, and I think there are some that could do better.
Yeah,
I think Monsieur Paul at the French Pavilion does a good job. I think they could do better downstairs.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Scott, I know you got to run, so thank you for giving us some time tonight. We do appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Scott Joseph. You can find him at scottjosephorlando.com. He has his Orlando restaurant guide. Lots of reviews, dining tips for around Orlando. So we got this is our big food special today, Tom, but it's also Star Wars Day. So we got a mixture of food and Star Wars music for you tonight. And when we get back, Tom, we're going to find out what you and I are angry about tonight. We'll also play some WDWNT, The Price is Right.
Yes.
So if you want to be a contestant, give us a call right now, 407-774-8255.
Yes, your mom was right when she said, hi, hi, father.
Hey, rapper, give us a chance.
You think they want to hear that old stuff? Salad?
Hey, hey, hey. Now, don't knock Bible. It's nutritious.
God, I love food. They know most people hate it.
Food Rocks or Kitchen Cabaret?
As good as Kitchen Cabaret was, I think everyone knowing our comedy style here at WDWNT, Food Rocks is more me.
Definitely. Food Rocks. Yeah. Food Rocks.
Chubby
for
Cheddar,
sure.
Come on, let's exercise. Come on.
I like Food Rocks in the same way that I like Return of the Jedi. It's kind of the one I grew up more with, I feel like.
I like both of them very much, but Food Rocks is just more my style.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, Tom, I know you like Food Rocks, but there's probably some things you don't like. It's time to find out what we're angry about.
I have access to the entire curse word library. Best new console is done.
Mind
indeed. Can't think of at least two ways to spell a word.
No fryer, see, it's all around this flight.
I don't like Sam.
I don't like
Jane.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Tom. You know, I love spending some time at the parks. And you know, sometimes when I go, I'm like, tonight, I'm going to stay till close. I'm going to watch the nighttime show. And I have my mind set on that. And I often don't stay. Most of the time, I'm at the parks during the day. Hey. Most of the time, I'm at the parks earlier in the day. I don't necessarily stay till night or go at night just for a few hours. So when I do, I want to enjoy the nighttime entertainment that is presented to me. And what I don't like, Tom, what I don't like is when you stake your spot, you got your nice spot there, and then there's some crowds around you who aren't taking the nighttime show as seriously as you. Now, Tom, I don't know if there's real etiquette for this.
Remember when I tried to pass etiquette?
You did. When you go to like a show, a theater show, people know that they have to be quiet during the show. Yet when there's an outdoor piece of entertainment, all rules go out the door. Yeah. So I had these group of kids next to me. It was a group, probably like 15 kids. There were some parents there too, and I gave them some looks. Because every time that a firework went off, the kids were like, like screaming, like,
how old were the kids?
And like every time, and you could tell that they were just being jerks and making a joke. Like, it's not like they were excited. They were like, ooh, wow, yay. No, they were trying to out-scream each other with every single firework. And as it went on, you could tell it just became a joke. They finally trailed off about 3/4 of the way through the fireworks show. But it's annoying. The same thing happened to me. Now, I don't get it out to Disneyland that often. When I went to see their nighttime show, there was a group of obviously I could tell they were cast members.
You're telling me a group of cast members was terrible?
They had the stench of cast members. They were in civilian clothes, though. And you could tell that they knew every single word of the show, and they were theatrically playing it out next to me. And it was too crowded to move away from them.
Yeah, Nick, you know what we call those?
Huh.
The entertainment department.
Tom.
I said it.
Put out your etiquette rules again. If this isn't on there, let me add it, please.
Well, no, I mean, that's just common sense. That doesn't even need to be on the etiquette thing so much. That's just
daggers.
That's just people being
eye daggers at the parents. I turned around 3 times.
I
and
told you that
stare.
Disneyland story with the Scottish family.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I got to tell that one on the air at some point. And it's probably only fit for this show because it's fairly vulgar.
Tom, what are you mad at?
Other than the usual stuff with the community, because I hate everybody.
They hate you too, don't worry.
I know, they do. More on that later. I went to Epcot last night, 7 o'clock. I go to Epcot a lot after work, and sometimes I've arrived after 7 o'clock. I have never seen, especially during a festival, one side of security completely shut down. Now, they didn't have it chained off. They didn't have a sign. So we walked all the way down the other side, and there's a security guard, like one standing in the middle to make sure no one trespasses, who goes, "Oh, yeah, you have to go the other way." I go, "But like, we already walked all the way over here. You don't have like a sign or anything telling me not to come over here, but it's open. Like, you can go this way." He's like, "No, you got to go the other way." I go, "But why don't you put a sign out?" He's like, "But it's not open." I go, "But you're not telling me."
But he's also standing there guarding it.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Epcot's set up. There's one on each side, and there's this path in front that cuts up and goes in like that.
Yeah.
So when you get to the middle here, it splits. This should be chained if you can't go this way, because you got to walk all this, then up, then in. Like, there's a lot of places to walk still. It's not like it's a short distance. It's like a minute.
Yeah, it's a minute.
But, like, your whole thing is making signs. You make signs, hundreds of signs a day that send people in different directions. That's your thing. I know, because I sell them at work. That's all you do is make these signs. Why can't you put one here? Or just put a chain. Just a chain. And I know it's a budget cut thing, and people are going, "Oh, they always do that." No, they don't. I've lived here for 3 years, and I've been to Disney World before that on hundreds of vacations. I know when they reduce security at the front of Epcot, that's directed at the one person on Twitter who wanted to tell me they always do that. Maybe during off-season. Not always. Sorry. Also, they don't always shut down half a Starbucks at 7 o'clock either.
Oh, anyway. I hate that.
Yeah. Ugh. Not always a thing. They're short-staffing. Sorry. Anyway.
All right, Tom. I'm ready to try to give out some fabulous prizes.
Well, Nick, here comes radio's most exciting few minutes of Disney-themed prizes, the fabulous WDWNT, The Price is Right. Hey, Caden, come on down. You're the next contestant on WDWNT, The Price is Right.
Hello. Am I on?
Yeah, you are. This thing
Hello.
On? Hi, Caden. Where are you calling from, Caden?
I'm calling in from Utah.
Caden was very eager to play with us tonight, Tom. He called in like right when the show started.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love this show.
You destroyed the monologue, but it's okay.
Oh yeah, he made me miss the blue cue. That's right.
It's all right. We appreciate your enthusiasm and thank
you.
All right, well, Caden, this is a food edition of The Price is Right, so hopefully you have a little bit of familiarity with some menus and things like that around the resorts and parks. So,
to be honest, I normally just get mac and cheese at all the restaurants.
Mac and cheese, all right.
You're part of
Can't go wrong with Disney mac and cheese.
Part of the problem. You're why they're closing the venue of Skipper Canteen.
Okay, to be honest, a head-on shrimp sounds really good.
See?
I just haven't been.
There you go. All right, well, we're going to play, the game we're going to play with you, Caden, is Order Up. Order Up. I will list three food items or meals you can find at Walt Disney World. You need to list them in order of least to most expensive. You need to get two sets of three items correct to win, okay?
Okay.
All right. Set one is our breakfast buffet set, all right? So, least to most, we got the Tusker House Restaurant Breakfast Buffet, the Wave Breakfast Buffet, and the Ohana Breakfast Buffet.
Okay, so Ohana is freakishly expensive, so I'm going to say Ohana's most expensive. And what were the other two? Tusker House and what was the second
one? And the Wave.
The Wave, I've never heard of that place.
It's at the Contemporary.
The Contemporary. So I'm going to say, least to most, Tusker House, Wave, Ohana.
All right. Well, let's check it out. The Tusker House price is $30. By the way, I apologize, and this doesn't really matter. Just to know, it's all adult prices. The whole entire night, adult prices. I should have told you that, but
that doesn't matter
when you order things when you're ordering these. So you said the Tusker House, the adult price for the Tusker House buffet is $30. $30. All right, and you said the Wave number two. The price of the Wave is $22. That's okay. As long as you get the next two sets right, you could still win a prize from Theme Park Connection.
How much is Ohana?
Ohana is $29, $1 less than Tusker House.
Oh, Tusker House is the most.
Yeah.
See, I would have got that wrong. I would have.
I was surprised.
Isn't that good? I'm surprised that cost.
It's not. It's the worst of those three.
All right, Kate, it's a little later in the day, so we're moving to dinner buffets now. Dinner buffets. All right, so least to most expensive, we got the Biergarten buffet in Germany.
I love Biergarten.
Yeah. How about the Trails End buffet over at the Wilderness Campground there? And then we have Cape May Cafe's buffet, all dinner buffets.
While I stall to think of the answer and not Google it, I just want to say that on my last trip to Disney World, I ate at Beer Gardens and Trails End.
Uh-huh.
So.
Which one do you like better?
I don't know. Beer Gardens, I stuffed my face till I felt like I was going to throw up.
Same here. It's disgusting, but it's awesome. By the way,
bread is amazing.
While Caden's thinking, if you want to play The Price is Right, call us 407-774-8255. All right, an answer, Caden. Which one's the least?
Okay. Least expensive, I'm going to say Trails End. Then second, what was the other one that wasn't Beer Gardens and Trails End?
Cape May and then Beer Garden.
Then I'm going to say Cape May, then Beer Gardens.
All right. The price of the Trails End buffet, $25. And then the price of the Cape May buffet, $40. Beer Gardens, $38.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Cape May's got that. Got crab on the buffet, so it's pretty pricey.
$2
that
more.
Makes sense.
Yeah, sorry, Caden. But
last time I went to Beer Garden, they shamed me into a bigger beer.
Yeah,
I got the smaller size, and the woman taking the order said, "Oh, the girl size." And so I said, "Fine, give me the big one."
Nice.
Jason was there.
I think
Jason.
They need to expand the plates at all the buffets.
Expand the plates.
Expand the plates.
Well, no, you need the exercise between. You have to get up. Walk around a little. Make sure your legs are still have circulation.
I need my bigger plates for more pretzel bread at Beer Gardens.
Yeah. All right, okay, and thanks for calling in tonight. And you call back next week to try to play the math game. Yes,
the match game.
No,
worse. A game people somehow do worse at. More on that later. I can't believe we're doing it.
Can't we reveal it?
Next week, Nick gets to do his math game again. I don't know why I've agreed to this, but the math game returns next week.
Anyway. All right. Thank you, Caden. If you want to play The Price is Right with us tonight, you can give us a call, 407-774-8255.
Okay, crackpots, let's get cooking.
All right, it's time for one of my favorite segments, Tom, because it means we just ate at Walt Disney World. It's what did Tom and Nick just eat.
Well, one of these was this weekend, but the other two were over a week ago because we ran out of time last week.
That is true.
So it's about the first place we went, Martha's Vineyard. So I've been on this quest the last 2 months to eat at every lounge at the Walt Disney World Resort hotels. I'm almost through all of them at this point. But there was one we hadn't gone to yet, Martha's Vineyard. Josh of EasyWDW.com. We're often end up going to dinners with. We both like to review restaurants. Whatever. I asked him, do you want to go to Martha's Vineyard? He's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, we haven't been. He's like, oh, okay, fine. So obviously he had not had the best experience here before.
Mm-hmm.
But then I messaged you and you're like, sure, I'll go there. And you'd never been either, right?
No, I was excited to check that place out.
And I had never been and Ashley had never been. So we went to Martha's Vineyard and we sat down and the menu was not what's on the app. Not that should be surprising to anybody at this point. Wait, but the menu.
I remember looking it up. I looked it up before I went, and I. You sure?
It. I don't know. Something that we looked at.
Maybe
was
something was off. Okay.
So first of all, there were chips with a, what was it, pimento cheese dip?
Oh my goodness!
These
yes.
were spectacular.
And they were the house chips, like the you know.
Yeah, which are always great.
Yeah.
But this cheese dip was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we've said we'll go back just for this cheese. Not that the other stuff was terrible,
right.
It wasn't. I like the wings a lot. They were a little different, but they had like the weird, what was it? Was it apple? Some sort of apple sauce.
There was apples with it.
No, but there was apple in the sauce also. Yeah, it was like apple something.
I wasn't a big fan.
I thought they were fine. I didn't think they were amazing, but they were good.
The worst thing was the sliders.
Yeah, the sausage sliders were not fantastic.
First of all, it wasn't. It was kielbasa.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, they call them sausage, but it was definitely like the kielbasa type sausage. So the Polish sausage. It was. They were off. I mean, they were just bland. There's nothing to them. There's no reason I'd say go order those.
That's how I felt about the. What was the other thing? The calamari.
Calamari,
which is also it wasn't bad. Right, it was good, but the chips. The chips and cheese dip were just off the chart.
I will say the calamari was a good, it was good calamari.
It was good.
It wasn't stringy. It wasn't.
It just, I think we at this point now we're just searching for amazing things.
I think so. I didn't like the batter, so that was it. But
it was good. It wasn't bad.
Yeah,
nothing was bad, and the cheese dip for the chips was one of my favorite dishes anywhere. So good.
Yeah, and then they have the secret door, which is amazing.
So we get to Martha's Vineyard, and there's only one woman working. She's behind the bar as a bartender. So we can't figure out. Usually you go to a Disney Lounge. Typically they come and take your order. If you sit at a table, not at the bar, they come and take your order. Even if there's one person, a bartender, they still do that. So we're sitting there for a couple minutes, and I'm asking Ashley, do we have to go up and order? I don't really know. And we're just sitting there. Eventually, we decide to go up in order. So we go up in order, and we go sit down, and we end up coming back up to order food again. And we can't figure out how they're going to get the food to us, because there's no thing where the bar lifts up and they go through.
No, I was like, does she have to come around?
So we're waiting for the food, and suddenly I see this ray of light come out of the wall. They have a secret door!
Totally secret.
It's like Batman! The wall just opens! It's a secret door, and suddenly we all turn around, and simultaneously you hear everyone at the table go, oh! And literally we walked past this wall, and no one noticed.
You can't tell.
This wall had a seam. It was perfect.
It was perfect. There's no sign on it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't have to pull a book in a bookshelf across the way to open it.
Yeah.
That would be cooler.
It would be, but anyway. Where else do we eat? Then we went to Alcoholic Milkshakes, which is a review up on the site. Beaches and Cream at Yacht and Beach now has alcoholic milkshakes.
Mm-hmm.
I had the s'mores milkshake, which you also had.
I did. Because
you had to be a jerk and not let us get four different ones to review.
I'm not going
to
get something I don't like.
Can't take one for the team.
No.
All the horrible dishes at Walt Disney World I've eaten for the sake of reviews. I had shrimp Alfredo at Pinocchio's last week. That's dedication. Anyway, s'mores milkshake was out of this world.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
You almost couldn't taste the alcohol, but it was enough of a hint where it enhanced the flavor.
That's
and didn't overpower it.
It didn't. They didn't drench it in there.
It was perfect.
For my alcohol ice cream, I still will pick, was it Le Glace in France?
Yeah, the wine ice cream.
The wine ice cream.
Or whatever they put. What do they put in there?
I get vodka
Is
or rum
it vodka
over
there?
Gelato. It's fantastic.
It's good. Jason got the menu. I still think the s'more shake is good.
Really?
I do. The root beer float and the grasshopper were fine.
They were fine.
And by fine, I mean they were very good. I mean, a milkshake or hard float is obviously something you enjoy very much. I just think the s'mores was so much better than the other two.
It was delicious.
So please go try those. We still got to go try the other two.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we'll get over there. Although it'll be hard to not order the s'mores again.
Well, that's why you bring more people. So two people can order new ones, and then there you go. I could take one for the team the second time we go.
Okay. You're muting the microphone again, by the way.
I'm not.
I see you doing it.
I'm not hitting the keyboard.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway. It's still, look Sorry, at it. I'm you see it doing it?
You see me not touching it.
But do you see it doing it?
No, I don't know where to look.
Okay, I keep seeing it happen.
It may happen.
It's like flashing. I don't know. Jason, is it? Are we having an audio problem?
Don't worry.
I
don't know. We'll anyway.
It. And then we went to sci-fi. Oh, yeah, we hit sci-fi on Sunday, because who doesn't love sci-fi?
Mm-hmm.
For the appetizer, they've always had buffalo popcorn chicken as a thing. And it was buffalo popcorn chicken. But as I mentioned earlier, Backlot, or Nick and I were talking about, I guess, before we went on the air, Backlot Express used to have buffalo chicken nuggets, which I'm really sad are gone.
Yep.
They're at sci-fi. They're not, it's not popcorn chicken anymore. It's literally the chicken breast nuggets with buffalo sauce on them, which I know this sounds horrible from a person who just yelled about how great head-on shrimp is, but I love these. They're so good. I really love them. But you got, your thing was amazing too, the pickles.
Oh, fried pickles. I get fried pickles every time I go to sci-fi. It's my staple there, and it never disappoints because it comes with a spicy mayonnaise sauce that you dip these things in. If you like pickles, these are fried pickles. I mean, you can't go wrong. They're so good. The breading they use is spectacular.
Yeah.
Every time.
Okay. And then we had the specialty burger I talked to you into, which I had last time, but I had it again this time, which had a fried cheese patty top of the hamburger and arugula and what, like marmalade? What was the
there
other?
There was like some kind of pepper sauce. So there was like a thick pepper sauce on the burger as well. So yes, there is a cheese. It's some kind of cheese. It's some kind of I forget the name of the cheese, but it's like a you know, one of those kind of cheeses that like kind of flakes off a little bit. And so like, maybe a Gouda-ish. I don't know what it is. Anyway, but they take it, they batter it, and they fry it. Apparently, the way our waiter explained it, this is an appetizer at one of the restaurants on Disney property.
Yes.
They up it a notch by taking the appetizer and putting it on a burger.
With arugula.
Oh, my goodness.
Sauce. It was good.
It was fantastic.
And then I had an Oreo milkshake, which was wonderful.
Yeah. Sci-fi, never go wrong.
I love sci-fi. And I know, let's save it. I'm going to talk about it later, anyway, in our big discussion later. But anyway, do we have more Prices Right?
We do.
All right, let's play Prices Right.
All right, sounds good to me, Tom.
Here comes radio's most exciting few minutes of Disney-themed prizes. It's the fabulous WDWNT, The Price is Right. John, come on down. You're the next contestant on WDWNT, The Price is Right.
Up, fellas.
Good evening, John. Have you ever played The Price is Right with us before?
No, I never have.
Oh, welcome to the show. It's a fun time for all. Where are you calling in from, John?
Bonita Springs.
Oh, wow. I would have said Maryland. Okay.
Where?
Bonita Springs. Is that Maryland?
No, it's...
Where is that? Is that Florida?
It's like down near Naples.
It is Florida, okay.
Maryland.
I don't know. I whenever I ask
by
somebody...
By Naples. Is that in Maryland?
I play a game in my
How
head.
How many places named Springs are there in Maryland?
There's definitely a Springs. I could... There's a... Yeah. Anyway.
That's more of a warm weather city name, anything with Springs in it. I can't picture many things in Maryland.
John, do you like food at Walt Disney World?
Not that much.
Oh.
Okay, so...
Well, do we have the game for you?
You're also not going to the Skipper Canteen then.
I don't know. Maybe I'd be surprised. I'm disappointed with most stuff that I get on property.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if you at least know the prices of some of the stuff you get. So here we go. Here we go, John. We're going to play Stack the Dishes. I'm going to give you a price and then list three food items you can find at Walt Disney World. You have to tell me what item that price goes with. We're going to do up to three rounds. You just need to get two of the three rounds correct to win. All right.
Okay.
So $8. $8, John. Is that the price of a churro in Frontierland? Is that the price of the smoky cheddar grits from Discovery Island to Animal Kingdom? Or is $8 the price of the cheese plate at the Writer's Stop at Hollywood Studios?
I guess the cheese plate.
The cheese plate. The retail price of the cheese plate is... $8! $8! Good job.
First $8 I think I've ever spent.
Probably so. Probably so. So you got one right, so you have some room to spare. Here we go. $11 is the price here. $11. is $11 the price of some pulled pork nachos at Captain Cook's? How about the price of a cheeseburger flatbread at Artist Palette? Or maybe it's the price of the sausages fried in curry corn batter at the Harambe Market.
That one seems kind of close. I'm leaning towards the flatbread, but I think I'm going to go with the first one.
All right. Let's see. The price of the Captain Cook's pulled pork nachos, $8. $8. Let's see the price of that flatbread. Yeah, that's $11. Sure went with your gut, John. Oh, boy. All right. So all rides on this last one, John. Here you go. $13. $13. Is that the price of a smoked pulled pork sandwich at Flame Tree Barbecue? Is it the price of the Southwest Vegetarian Burger at the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater? Or is $13 the price of the French Dip Burger at the Electric Umbrella?
The first one was pulled pork, you said?
Yeah, it's $13. You got a choice between the Flame Tree Barbecue Pulled Pork Sandwich, the Vegetarian Burger, or the French Dip Burger.
I'm going to go with the pulled pork.
The pulled pork burger. Let's check it out. The price of the pulled pork burger is $11. The French dip burger at the Electric Umbrella is $13, John. All right. But, John, thank you for playing with us tonight. We do appreciate it. And call back anytime to play a game with us. By the way, Tom, if someone does win one of these rounds of Price is Right with us tonight, they will get something awesome from Theme Park Connection. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Theme Park Connection and what they have to offer?
Well, Theme Park Connection, you could check them out at themeparkconnection.com. It's a wonderful place that sells all kinds of theme park props, memorabilia, all sorts of fun things, movie props. You can visit their retail location in Florida. It's near the Florida Mall in Orlando. And as well, again, visit them online at themeparkconnection.com. They have an online store there. They have hundreds and hundreds of eBay auctions every week with lots of really, really cool items. And also, if you shop in their online store, if you use the code WWNT, you get a discount.
And, Tom, people that are possibly staying in the Disney area, how far of a drive? I know you've made this drive. Like, how far of a drive would you say it is to theme park?
I make that drive, like, every day at 5 o'clock.
I figured. Is it like
Depends where on property. I could be at Disney Springs in 18 to 20 minutes.
Wow, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And that's at 5 o'clock in what should be traffic time.
Yeah.
So that's with a slight delay, even. So one time, one afternoon, the Trader Sam's pin came out. The grand opening one?
Yeah.
I made it into the Polynesian parking lot in 17 minutes.
17
minutes. Yeah, 17. It's still my proudest driving moment of my life.
That sounds really good. That's
dangerous.
That's cool,
but anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure that.
Less about that.
No doubt about that. Coming up next hour, we're about to put the cap on the first hour here on WW News tonight. But coming up in the next hour, we're going to get some panelists on from around WDWNT. We're going to talk about dining at Walt Disney World. A good in-depth discussion, best and worst.
A dining discussion series, in fact.
Oh, it continues. That's a fan favorite.
It's an old school segment. Goes back to the first year of the podcast. Jason's favorite.
So we're going to talk about some of the best and worst table and counter service places around the Walt Disney World Resort. We have a flashback to the future, too, Tom. I'm excited about this one. Star Wars Weekends. We'll be talking all about that.
And a lot of people hate me, apparently.
Oh, a lot of people hate you this week, Tom. And we still have some more games for Price is Right. So if you want to play WDWNT, The Price is Right, we'll take your calls when we return. 407-774-8255.
Welcome to Hour 2 of WW News Tonight. We are live, of course, on AM 1520 WBZW in Orlando, and at listen.wdwnc.com.
He left the
For those of
open.
You watching or listening to the replay, thank you for listening as well.
You left my granola bag open.
Did I have granola here? I mean,
bugs could get in there. They could lose its freshness. Has the seal.
This week's show brought to you by Mona's Granola.
Oh, they're going to. Oh, Mona right there. She's going to send me a few bags for that. Thanks.
I'm still waiting on my more hoodies trail mix.
Oh, hoodies. Come on, step up. Send it in.
By the way, Mug of the Week is a Walt Disney Imagineering Star Tours poster mug. Visit Cloud City.
Does it worry you when a product you really like goes like. A store like Publix stops carrying it. Like, do you worry that?
Well, that always happens with those weird off brands.
I mean,
it's just they have it for a while. They see how it sells, and then either they get a better deal or they just stop.
Well,
carrying.
I mean, Mona's I've been buying since I moved to Orlando, and then all of a sudden in the past few months they stopped carrying it. I talked to them, and they said, "No, we're not."
You're gonna have to order like all of your food via Amazon,
right? They stopped carrying hoodies last year.
Yeah.
No more Monas.
Anyway, next week, May 11th, 2016. Oh, no, it's back. We said it earlier. What is it? It is, unfortunately. I'm letting Nick have his way next week. For those of you who listen to the radio show, on two occasions, we didn't know what game to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick, the first time, said, I want to do a game with math.
There was some reason. I don't remember why.
And so I said, well, it's an hour till show. We need a game. You can do your math game. And that's how it got the name. It had like a fancy name.
Probably.
It was a theme to that week. But that's how it became the math game.
Tom and Nick's trip to mathematical land?
Literally, I think at least 10 people called in and couldn't get the answer to this math problem.
Totally.
And I don't think anyone ever got it.
I don't think so.
But we got such a good response. A couple months later, I said to Nick, we're going to do the math game again. Someone actually got the right answer the next time, but still a lot of people did not. Because, like myself, a lot of people hate math.
Right.
So, next week, we're going to play the math game, which is going to combine Disney knowledge with math.
Do we allow phone calculators?
Yes.
All right.
You're going to need your Texas Instruments TI-82 Plus with graphing function for this one, folks. Don't worry, the school won't provide it. You have to go spend your own hundred and whatever dollars on it. It's never on sale. And you got to go get a sales associate because it's hooked onto the rack with that security thing. But anyway, but don't worry, you can download games. But once your teacher finds out, you're kind of screwed.
Yep.
But anyway... Where are you?
But well, right now, this week, we are still looking for more contestants to play The Price is Right. We haven't had any winners yet tonight, so we still have those theme park connection prizes for you.
And we haven't played my favorite game, either.
What? You have a favorite game?
You know, the one where the guy goes up the hill?
What are you talking
about? You know, the guy that yodels?
On Price is Right? You talking... Plinko? Or is it... When you spin the wheel? Is that the showcase?
Did you just play the yodel? Was that the yodel music?
No, there's no yodelers around here. Just you and I, Tom.
All right.
You like that game? Where he kind of moves up the mountain, right? Is that the one?
Yes, it could be a yodeler.
Yeah.
I don't know. Due to a scheduling conflict, he was originally supposed to be here this week. Cornak the Magnificent will indeed be here next week. So make sure you tune in for that. Direct from Serial 8. Cornak the Magnificent will be here. I guess we got a caller for Price is Right, maybe? Do we? I mean, more granola.
Yeah, we do. What about Cornak? Is he coming on next week?
He will be here next week, I promise.
Oh, goodness.
This week's show was too jam-packed.
I thought I was going to meet him today. I took a shower last night and everything.
This show was too high in fiber for Cornak the Magnificent. He'll be here next.
All right. Well, this show right here is brought to you by Magical Travel. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard a Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, you can awaken summer. Hashtag Awaken Summer, I think the Disney
What's
blog is.
What's summer?
Summer! And save up to 30% on rooms at select Walt Disney World Resort hotels for stays most nights, June 12th through August 25th, 2016. And when you book by June 10th, 2016, you get... That's what happens. And then you get an exclusive...
Wait, what?
Well, when you book by June 10th for most nights between the 12th and the 25th of August, you get the 35%.
But can I book at Koopa Creep? Is the Koopa Creep Resort available?
And I can see Russia from my house.
I don't think it's open yet.
People yodeling. There's ladies yelling about Russia. What's going on?
Popping up in your window. Minnie Mouse laying on the floor outside.
No, and Carrie Fisher. Anyway.
She's in the bathtub. You know what you get? You know what you get with Awakened Summer? You get a BB-8 graphic magic band. Tom, you and I are jealous. That's when you upgrade to a room and theme park package together. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit magicaltravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. Ready for some more Prices Right, Tom?
Sure. Here comes radio's most exciting few minutes of Disney-themed prizes. If anyone can win, it's the fabulous WWND, The Price is Right. Justin, come on down. You're the next contestant on WWND, The Price is Right.
Good evening, Justin. How you doing, Justin?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Bob?
Doing great. Doing great. Where are you calling in from, Justin?
I'm calling from Providence, Bob.
Providence, Rhode Island, nice.
Oh, I thought that was near Naples.
Is it spring yet there? Nice weather?
Just barely.
All right. Big Sox fan?
Not really, Bob. But more of a Yankee guy.
Oh, in Rhode Island?
I don't tell anyone here, though.
Rhode Island's Red Sox Nation, all the way. All right, well, we're going to play some Prices Right with you, Justin. We're going to play Just Getting Started. I'm going to list five appetizers you could find at Chico. You need to pick as many items as you want to get to a total price between $38 and $42. Okay, so here are your menu items.
I'm ready.
The Grilled Wild Boar. The I don't even know what this is. Why did they put this on there? Indigay, Tibbs, and Brick. Do you know what that is, Tom? You've eaten there. Do you even know what Tibbs and Brick is?
I only order one appetizer.
Well, this is mushroom, spinach, cheese in a filo. I think it's like in a pastry crust.
Yeah, no,
there you go. That is exactly what it is. How about the meat and cheese plate? Meat and cheese plate. We got the shrimp, and we got the Baba Tea Roll, which is beef, boar, and buffalo. And you also have the Taste of Africa.
I also think it's Bobadi. I don't think it's...
Okay, and how many can I pick?
You can pick as many as you want. You need to get between $38 and $42. So we got some wild boar. We got the brick. We got the house and the meat and cheese plate, the shrimp, the crispy roll, or the Taste of Africa.
All right, let's do the two boar dishes and the cheese plate.
All right, we're going with two boar dishes. Let's
Nick, can I say something?
Yes.
All he needs are the two boar dishes. That's
$38
on the button, if I'm correct.
We don't. Yeah, yeah.
No, but see, what has he got? Is he still in there with it?
Well, no. He just takes the two boar dishes.
He would have had it if he had the two boar, but he does not. But I just wanted to prove to everyone that I know the menu prices.
So does he loses?
He didn't. He said two boar and the shrimp.
I definitely won that.
Well, no, you added a dish.
You added in dishes, so.
You went over.
You did.
You should have stopped at two boar.
I don't know, Bob. That doesn't sound right to me.
Let's keep playing.
Should we play another game
with him? It's $19 for that boar. I know because I just went there last week.
Should we play another game with him?
Give him another game.
All right. That one's a little flawed.
Kind of was flawed, but he was over. We're going to give him another chance.
We're going to give you another chance because, plus those dishes were hard to do that one.
They
were hard for Nick to read.
Yes. I don't know if these are any easy.
The bibbity-bobbity-boo platter at Chico.
<We'll see. laughs>
And I'll also have, and for my entree, I'll have the the Koopa Creep salmon, please.
Oh, my Creep.
Koopa Creep salmon, please. You're playing a Selm.
Oh, anyway, goodness.
Nick, come on. Give him another game.
All right. We're gonna play Top Shelf. I'm going to give you a price. Then I'm going to list three items you can find at Walt Disney World. You need to pick the one item that is higher than that price. If you get two out of three sets of these items correct, you win. All right. So here you go. The price is $69. $69. Okay. Which of these items is above $69? Is it the filet mignon at Le Cellier? Is it the steamed Maine lobster in corn souffle at Narcusi's, the great Italian restaurant?
Oh, God. Keep going.
Or is it a meal at the an adult price meal at the Cinderella's Royal Table?
Only one of those is above 69.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the lobster.
All right, let's check the price of the other two first. The filet mignon at Le Cellier is $52. And if you want to eat Cinderella's Royal Table and you are an adult, it'll cost you $68. So, good job. You got that one right. The steamed Maine lobster is $72.
All right.
And Narcusi's. All right, so now you're on a roll. So now you only need one of these next two sets to win. All right, $11 is the price you're looking for. $11 is the price you're looking for here. Is $11 the price of Mickey's Kitchen Sink Sundae? Is it the price of a jumbo turkey leg in Frontierland? Or is it the price of a traditional jatkok, of course, the Norwegian meatballs? I told you, Tom, I shouldn't have gone with that one.
Oh, jatkok!
The Norwegian meatballs at the bakery in Norway. $11.
Price exactly.
Well, I do round up if it's 95 when they're 95 cents, but yes.
And what was the first option?
Mickey's Kitchen Sink Sundae. You got the sundae, you got the turkey leg, the jumbo turkey leg, and you got the jatkok.
Let's go with the turkey leg.
The turkey leg. The price of Mickey's Kitchen Sink Sundae, $15. The price of the Norwegian meatballs, $8. That means the price of the turkey leg is $11.
Bam! I'm so excited. That's all there is to it.
You have a winner.
That's all there is to it. A winner.
Good. Good job indeed. Let's see, just for the heck of it, real quick. Let's see if you get the third one right since I got it here.
How much was the jatkok again?
Yeah, that was $8.
Oh, that was the price of the jatkok.
Yes, $9. Okay. Is that the price of some clam chowder at Liberty Tree Tavern? Is it the Casey's Corner corn dog nuggets? Or is it the price of a LeFrew's brew in the souvenir stein or a goblet?
Oh, there's no way they're giving a goblet for $9. I'm going to go with the nuggets, Bob.
The price of the nuggets is $6. It's the clam chowder that's $9. But anyway, you got your prize from Theme Park Connection. Hold on the line for me, Justin. We'll get your info and send out your prize.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Brought to you by Jatkok, the official treat of WDWNT since 2007.
Very much isn't. It's very much brought to you by Theme Park Connection.
And Jatkok. It's a joint sponsorship.
Joint sponsorship. Yes. Keep those joints working.
Oh, boy.
Hey, when we return, we're going to have a dining discussion.
Yes.
In depth with WDWNT panelists about some dining around Walt Disney World.
The best and worst.
Happy May the 4th, everyone.
4th be with you.
Yeah.
And now, the show that has the whole town cooking, The Kitchen Cabaret. Here's your hostess, Bonnie Appetit.
Oh, dear. It's time for another meal. Yes, there are days when I feel downcast and get the mealtime blues. If I don't plan a proper meal, my menu will be bad news. All the mealtime blues.
All right, you listen to WDW News tonight. Here on 1520 WBZW and across the globe at listen.wdwnt.com. We're talking about food tonight. We want to bring on a longtime listener to the show. Sam calling in wanted to make a food comment here on the show tonight. Go ahead, Sam.
First of all, good evening from Cooper Creek.
You're waiting for the payload
is that
sound.
Near,
and
is
I can
near
see
Naples?
Russia from my house.
It's near Naples, right?
Go ahead.
One restaurant that I don't think people are going to talk about tonight is Trattoria El Forno at the Boardwalk. They serve breakfast. And the breakfast there, it's just their traditional table service breakfast. It's actually really good. When I was there in March, I ended up having breakfast there 4 days in a row. It's your traditional breakfast stuff, but it has a bit of an Italian twinge to it. Like there's a scrambled eggs meal, but it has tomatoes and mozzarella and basil. It adds sort of a nice freshness to it.
It's funny you mention that because I think I'm still twinging from when we had dinner there.
Yeah.
Well, I know dinner stinks, but
dinner's terrible. But I'd be willing to go try it if you really think that highly of it.
Another thing is the waffle there. It has this espresso mascarpone cream to it, so it's not your traditional Mickey waffle. The cream really adds a nice different flavor to it. And there's also the breakfast sandwiches, which has three styles of Italian pork and eggs and cheese on these mini brioche buns, basically breakfast sliders.
I'm gonna have to go.
Those are really good as well.
All right. We're going then. Your recommendation,
we'll go.
Sam. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call, Sam. Now it's we're getting a little bit late in the show. We still have Flashback to the Future. And
Nick wants to not go overtime. Welcome to Nick wants not to.
No, I'm sure we're going overtime. That's why I'm
just
getting to
always assume we're going overtime.
Tom, it's time for our in-depth discussion. Why don't you bring on our panelists?
Joining me, Ashley, Dustin, Jason, Patrick. Come on in, everybody.
There we go.
Come on into Koopa Creek. The water's fine.
It's always fine in Koopa Creek.
So what we wanted to do tonight is basically give people an idea of what are the best and worst restaurants. So what is a restaurant they absolutely should go to, and what is one under no circumstance they should eat at any point. And that's kind of why I asked the panel to come up with their best and worst in a couple of categories. So we're going to do table and counter service, and we're going to cover Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Studios, Animal Kingdom, Disney Springs, and then as big of a category as it might seem, resorts are going to be its own category. Ooh. So if we can start in the natural order, I want to start at Magic Kingdom, and I want to start with table service. So I'll open the floor, everybody. Let the arguing commence.
I have no problem jumping in. I think the only table service worth doing is, hey, how's it going?
Good shirt.
Thanks. You can get it at Teespring. Make sure you follow the link from WWNT.com. Teespring.
Public.
Teespring.
Public.
Teespring. Whatever.
Teespring. Whatever.
Is that like formed at Teespring?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Copper Crick. Anyway,
what a bunch of shot cocks.
The only place.
It's a bait string. Go ahead.
The only place worth eating, in my mind, table service at Magic Kingdom is Be Our Guest. I know some people have issues there. I have had nothing but fantastic meals when I've been there. So I think that is the top of the line for table service.
I do love Be Our Guest. I have never had a complaint there. I don't really understand all the complaints that I do hear there, to be honest with you.
I think they're mostly lunch and breakfast related.
Maybe. Think so, too.
Or well, I can't get a reservation.
Exactly. Yes. Reservation related, yes.
I'm going with Cinderella's Royal Table. I've eaten there a few times, always loved the experience, and I just... The food, I've never had a problem with the food. I always think it's delicious.
Last time I went, it was actually really good. I was very surprised.
Yeah, I always loved it. And I love the atmosphere. It's a nice place to treat yourself to every once in a while. And then it's fun. It's fun. I like it.
Yeah, definitely got to agree with you on that one. Cinderella's Royal Table is probably one of the top locations in any park. The experience is great. The food is really good, but you go there for the experience. You're sitting in the castle. Like, that is the ultimate Disney experience. Be Our Guest, the dinner isn't that good. The first time it's fine, but I'd rather go there for a quick service lunch.
See, I've only had the quick service lunch, so I don't know what the dinner is like at Be Our Guest. But I do like Cinderella's Royal Table. The only thing I wish, I almost wish they wouldn't give you the silly wand or the sword.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, find my sword.
I'm sorry. Like you're going into the castle and they hand it to you and you're like, you almost have that moment where you're like, really? This is like, I like the little show that they do with it, but
oh, yeah.
I don't know. They need to change it and make it better. Like make it light up or something. It's the castle. And like, it looks like it's just a cheap toy from McDonald's. I'm sorry. It does.
Well, it is a cheap
toy. But
it is. It is cheap.
I know, but it should be better. You're going to the castle.
But those are like $19.95 right outside of the castle.
That doesn't mean they're not cheap toys.
So, Ashley, what's your pick?
CRT on it. It's exactly. The Cinderella's Royal Table right there.
He has one now.
I know. I was actually looking
at it. Of course I do. It's the coolest thing. It's flexible, too.
How do you have that?
Stop
right
that, you'll poke your eye out.
He was prepared.
He's playing Let's Make a Deal, and he's like pulls this random stuff right out of his pocket.
Do you want a sword or do you want a wand?
The wand there. Jeez.
So I'm gonna have to agree with Patrick somewhat. I think Be Our Guest restaurant is good. I don't. I mean, I do see where some people say it's not great, because honestly, I don't think it is. I mean, I've had dinner there a couple times. It is good. I'd rather eat at any of a number of other places not in the Magic Kingdom. Yeah. But it's probably the best that there is, for dinner at least. For lunch, no. For breakfast, that's a disaster. Are we doing just the best, or are we doing the worst too?
Just best right now. Just starting with best.
All right. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, there's nothing better than Be Our Guest at the Magic Kingdom, but that doesn't mean it's very good.
I think you're all incredibly incorrect. Well,
what was Ashley's? Did Ashley?
Did you have one?
Oh, Cinderella is still my favorite.
Oh, okay.
She's just mad about toys.
Gotcha.
I am. Anyway.
You're all wrong, because Skipper Canteen is the best sit-down restaurant at the Magic Kingdom. This menu is spectacular. Everything I've had here is really, really great until everyone had to ruin the menu. But the head-on shrimp, the shumai is a fantastic appetizer. The desserts are really, really great. It's a fantastic restaurant. And yeah, it's much more affordable than any of the ones any of you mentioned.
When you're looking at the options within the Magic Kingdom, Skipper Canteen is still too young as a restaurant, and it's not really focused on, you know, what it has. It's all focused around the experience, which is great, but you can't compare Skipper Canteen to Cinderella's Royal Table. You just can't.
I don't know.
We're talking pre-menu shift, so you could go there tomorrow and be like, nope, this is garbage.
Oh, you're absolutely right, but that's same thing for Royal Table. But on any night, that Royal Table food can be slop, and some nights it's edible. So, I mean, that restaurant's been all over the place the last 20 years. Atmosphere-wise, it's hard to compete with, but I think if we want to talk about actual, dining, if we want to talk about the actual quality of the food, it's nowhere even near Skipper Canteen. It's nowhere even near Be Our Guest, and I don't think Be Our Guest is that great anymore either. I think that went downhill real fast. So, I mean, again, atmosphere-wise, I'm not going to argue with anybody. I mean, it's eating in the castle. It's something somebody should do at least once in their lifetime. I think it's a fairly special experience. But Skipper Canteen, I think food-wise, is much, much stronger.
So since you mentioned Pile of Slop, I assume that's a good segue into the
worst.
The worst, and I'm going to have to go with Crystal Palace on this one. And I know Tom will not disagree.
No, I won't, but I actually don't have it as my worst anymore.
Really? That's surprising.
My worst is, and everyone should know this if they've read the site recently, I said it's the worst Disney restaurant I've ever been to. The Diamond Horseshoe.
Oh, yeah.
It replaces Crystal Palace for me as the worst in this park. And we're going to go back. They changed the menu slightly. We're going to go back this weekend and try it again. But Diamond Horseshoe is bad. Beyond Crystal Palace, at least you can find a couple things on the buffet that are edible. This was awful. This was absolutely awful. Thrown together, bad menu. Not good food. The only thing that was edible was the cornbread. And that was it.
I'm going to think no one's going to agree with me here, unfortunately. But I've tried this place numerous times over the years. Never been satisfied. And for some reason, Tom really likes it and like dragged me there once and said, you're going to love it. Tony's Town Square, yeah. I just don't like it. I don't like Tony's Town Square. It's just, there's nothing there I've ever ordered that I was like, wow, this makes me want to come back here. And I don't understand the appeal it has with some people.
I agree with you, Nick. I'm with you, Nick.
I go to Tony's for pure nostalgia, but I understand.
Maybe that's it.
No, I get it.
Is that actually your guys' worst?
Is that it? Anyone?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yep. Okay.
I don't have one, so.
Okay.
Yeah, my worst was Crystal Palace.
Yeah,
and, that's what I would have picked.
The mix between the food, the fact that the food is barely edible. It's
barely
also
get it because Winnie the Pooh's.
Wow.
But overall, it's probably the worst buffet on property.
Yeah.
You're looking at an incredibly packed location, and honestly, the service there, the couple of times that I've been, not good at all. I'd rather meet the characters, especially the Winnie the Pooh characters in the UK, in Epcot.
Yeah, it's actually one of the worst character meals on property, too.
I think it's the worst character meal.
There's that restaurant doesn't work well for the characters. I think it's just too packed. And the only, if you're dead set on going to Crystal Palace, the only meal that I could recommend that you eat there would be breakfast. Breakfast is not half bad.
Some cool signature items.
We've done it, and actually, my strategy for breakfast there is to pick an extra Magic Hours morning, hit the park at 8 a.m., and then book your breakfast for like 10:30. And that way you've gotten, you know, all the e-ticket rides, and then you can go have a leisurely breakfast.
There are
and
a lot of people in the chat, crowded. By the way, who are very mad at us for ripping apart Crystal Palace.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace is a great experience if you have a family and if you book it correctly. The tough thing is you're booking in the Magic Kingdom where you have no idea what's going to happen. It could be raining outside. All of a sudden, you're going to find so many people right there at the entrance.
That entrance is a nightmare.
Well, it's the land.
Even when it's not raining, it's a nightmare because there's just people. It's so crowded. People stand there for hours waiting.
And now
for
there's
their
no
table.
Lunch. Dinner starts at like in the morning after
yeah,
breakfast.
11:30.
11:30 dinner. Yeah.
Well, that's not really dinner so much as lunch.
Well, according
at
to Disney
pricing.
And pricing, it is dinner.
It's lunch at dinner pricing, but whatever.
I'm gonna listen to Jason because it looks like he's about to order the end of the Republic. So,
Republic
the snowy
is already gone.
No? Right.
This Republic has already gone. It's
are you talking about the park? Right, it's pretty gone.
the ride, not the park, just the run.
Most of the park is pretty bad. Anyway, Nick's trying to move me along because it's 10:30. Counter service, best and worst. Go ahead, everybody. Give me your best and worst. We'll do both.
Casey's Corner.
Best?
Yes.
Oh, get out of here.
Man, that's
like based on one menu item.
Corn dog, nuggets, chili, and fries. It's the greatest.
Those fries are garbage. That chili is subpar.
Oh, it's horrendous.
The nuggets are the only decent thing.
Well, you know what? This is actually based on...
It's the only restaurant I've walked in and walked right back out. It smells terrible.
Oh, come on, guys.
Awful.
It's my comfort food. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm gonna go with the new menu over at Pecos Bill. It's like the best Chipotle ever. I did a lot when
it's
there.
Like Chipotle without the illness.
Yeah, it's really good. Big portions, good value, nice place to relax, fun toppings bar. I really, really had a good time.
I'm gonna tack on because I anyone who's been listening to the show for 9 years, I can't believe I'm gonna say this. My best counter service in Magic Kingdom is Pecos Bill's, and I never thought this day would come.
No, never.
It's a really solid menu. Everything's really good. It is better quality Chipotle, and I know that's probably shocking to people that go to Chipotle, but I really like this menu a lot. I think it's got enough on it. The Fixin's Bar actually makes more sense now other than just the Taco Bowl. I really like it.
See, Pecos Bills is great when you're looking at the atmosphere. It's great. Theming is great. My only thing is they got rid of the cheese, which is, you know, a huge letdown. But that wasn't just Pecos Bills. That was across property.
Casey's Corner.
So
people, you know, can't be really trusted with cheese. Yeah, too dangerous.
For me, though, I have to go, and this is going to be crazy, I have to go to the Columbia Harbor House. Overall, the food was edible, which for quick service, especially in the Magic Kingdom, is hard to do. And they got incredible space. You can go in there. It's air conditioned. It's nice. Right in the middle. Can't go wrong.
Head up to the second floor. Yep, I could see where you're coming from with that. You know, I was going to go with Pecos Bills even before the menu change as one of the top spots in the Magic Kingdom. I guess you can't really take Golden Oak Outpost because it's never open. Is that
and
a legitimate
menu also
one?
Also changes weekly.
Or how about
that's on
Sleep-
the same level as the Tomorrowland Terrace?
You I know, think Sleepy Hollow
when it's open the 2 weeks
Sleepy
out of the
Hollow,
year.
Sleepy Hollow was good,
but the chicken sandwich is gone.
That's right. Ridiculous. So that's a problem too. So how can
remember
you
when Nick found out about the chicken sandwich?
Live on air. We have it on record. It's ridiculous.
He was angry that
you could
week.
See his heart break. Live
but,
on air.
I'm going to have to go with, you know, for the worst. It was really I was thinking Pinocchio's for the worst, but then Nick mentioned Casey's Corner, and I think I'm going to go with Casey's Corner as my worst.
Let me help you here, Jason. I went to Pinocchio's Village Haas last week. Most of the menu's bad. Josh had not reviewed the shrimp Alfredo. This combines my two no's with Disney fast food restaurants. That being Italian and seafood.
That's
so
not
here
even something
we have
that should
these
be
two,
on a menu.
These two horrible mistakes coming together to make easily the most vile dish I've ever encountered anywhere. Oof. Pinocchio's is the worst. It's and I know they've tried to fix it with the flatbreads and things, but it's garbage. It's terrible. And this is the only one. This is where the burgers and fries should have stayed. And I know it has name Pinocchio, so they're like, "Hey, Pinocchio, it's Italian, hey! You know, let's put
Beepity
it down."
Bobbity, no. Bobbity, boobbity.
Boppity, like at Chico. It's an appetizer. yeah.
But I'm bummed.
So they should have kept the burgers and fries here because it worked here, and the Figaro fries were good enough to withhold people. But instead, this place went Italian and awful, and it's bad. It's very bad.
See, got to agree with you. The big thing that I don't know if anyone's really pointed out is that Be Our Guest is a great quick service lunch, but you have to reserve it. So as an ADR, it's a great opportunity, but you're looking at a location where you have to be there either 90 days or 100 days out just to get a quick service walk-up.
And my only problem with Be Our Guest is that it was good at the beginning, and it's gone down. Just like it's gone downhill for dinner, I think it's gone downhill for lunch as well.
Yeah. Because it takes you 25 minutes to get from the check-in through that little corridor just to order. And then by the time you get in, it's just it's a madhouse in there. The food is really good. But for my worst out of absolutely everything, I have to stick with Pinocchio Village House with everyone else because the food selection is horrible and it's right there next to it's a small world, so you're getting a lot more families, which means your seating ability is gone. If you walk in there and you see stroller and stroller and stroller outside, you're going to go in and not be able to find a table because they do that weird thing where when you walk in, someone goes and orders and the rest of the family just stays there.
Yeah.
And it's the only restaurant in the Magic Kingdom where they don't police that.
Yeah. People used to do that at Pecos Bills and then they
don't
started
do that
clamping
anymore.
Down.
No, they don't do the they don't check anymore. It's back to normal. They did that 5 minutes. Yeah. No, it's over.
Well, I mean, they can do that during the busy season.
They'll
that's
still do
fine.
It like Christmas week, but that's like it.
Yeah.
It's free for all the rest of the year, which I'm not even going to – we'll save that for what Tom's angry about another week because that destroys the whole functionality of each restaurant. But anyway.
I think that out of all the parks right now, the Magic Kingdom is probably – you know, it's black or white. It's – you have a great option, or you have the worst on property. And unfortunately, we're looking at the top theme park in the world, that one park. And, you know, I just don't think that their level of sophistication with the food is at the point where you can really say it belongs in the Magic Kingdom. Hopefully that'll change.
Yeah, I think, honestly, they don't care. I mean, they've got you trapped in the Magic Kingdom.
They
and you
do
have
care,
to
though.
Eat.
Look at how many menus have changed. I mean, well, Pecos Bill's went to that. Tortuga did the barbecue sandwiches, which aren't great, but they're not bad either. And then you look at even Gaston's has rotated through a couple of different things now, as they're still trying to find something there that works. You know, and Cosmic Rays is still chugging along. It's got to be the burger place, but in the end, it is the last burger place. It's all that's left. It's the last bastion of old school counter service in that park. And think about it. A couple years ago, that menu was at Cosmic Rays. It was at Pinocchio's. It was at Pecos.
Yeah. Yep.
It's now only at Cosmic Rays. So it's not that they're not trying. It's some of the things have worked out, Pecos Bill's, and some are Pinocchio's, and they haven't worked out. And that's
well, we just got to see how long it takes them to figure that out and make the appropriate changes.
Is there anyone who hasn't gone? I want to keep this moving.
Pinocchio's the worst for me.
Ashley, go ahead.
Everybody already named mine. Okay. So, everybody named mine. My worst would be Casey's, and my best would be Our Guest. But that's just for the food. I agree with Dustin that it's a pain in the neck to get in, and it's a pain in the neck to sit down and figure out reservations, because even when you have a reservation, you have to check in an hour in advance and still wait outside, which to me is ridiculous and defeats the point of a reservation. But the food is still the best, in my opinion.
All right, Ashley, why don't you lead us off? We'll move to Epcot table service. Give me your best and worst.
My best table service would probably be Via Napoli, because that's probably the best pizza I've ever had in my life. And my worst would probably be Nine Dragons. And it wasn't bad, I just wasn't impressed. Like, it seemed pretty, like, generic food that I could get anywhere at any Chinese. There wasn't anything special about it.
You're saying that Chinese food is the same everywhere?
Yes!
Pretty much.
I agree. I think it's everywhere.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't bad, but like Via Napoli tasted special because...
Right. Well, see, that's why I feel with a lot of Epcot, I feel like Mexico's Mexican food, and China's Chinese food. You know, so
reason for that, Nick, is because they are.
and Morocco is Moroccan food.
That's arguable.
Look. No. So to me, it's not bad. It's just not like something outstanding that I necessarily visit to. Tom turned me on Via Napoli, and I'm always very happy for that. But that's not my favorite. I'm going over to Future World for my favorite. Coral Reef.
Oh no!
Absolutely.
Yep.
You are not alone.
Oh, no.
What?
Wow.
Crazy. Look at that.
Y'all just want to be controversial. That's what.
No, I love Coral Reef. I've never had a bad meal there. I really love it. I love it. I love eating.
I just
there.
Virtually got food poisoning.
I'm sorry about
Tom,
that.
Tom is a guest.
Really?
The food was great. The atmosphere is amazing. The service is great.
Thank you.
I love the desserts. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great experience. The tough thing, the only downfall that I have with Coral Reef is that I've never been able to be seated within about 45 minutes of my reservation.
That is
the only issue.
Not the fact that you're eating fish in front of fish.
Oh, I love that.
The chocolate wave.
I had the steak. The vegetarian meal is great. There's a lot of options. But yeah, you know, as long as you're not eating what you're seeing, that's fine.
The chocolate wave is the only redeeming thing at this restaurant. That dessert is the only thing that's good.
And you like, I know you like seafood. So
I do.
Yeah.
Coral Reef is horrible. It's awful. It's really very, very bad.
Always enjoyed it.
I don't know.
It is the worst meal I've ever had on Disney property.
Wow.
That is my worst.
It's bad. I don't know about that bad, but...
It is the worst meal I've ever had on Disney. We had the lobster mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrific.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever eaten at Planet Hollywood?
No,
more
I'm
on that later.
That. that's my worst. So we'll get that out of the way. My best. It's such a. It's there's three that are on my mind. I love Le Cellier. I haven't been there since the menu change. I'm going this next trip, so hopefully I'll see La Hacienda. Is really great. It's a step up of your regular Mexican food, but I have to say it's Via Napoli. Being an Italian from the East Coast, I love pizza, and to be able to go to Orlando and get good pizza, good pasta, a good bottle of wine is important to me. I love Via Napoli.
You can get pizza anywhere. Like, no. To go to Disney World.
As a New Yorker, I will inform you, you cannot get pizza anywhere.
That's
so,
true.
So,
don't be ridiculous.
That's different.
Here's the Via Napoli argument from my point of view. I've been to Manhattan where the company that operates Via Napoli has their flagship restaurant called Naples 45. Via Napoli's pizza is better. I could not believe it. I actually went back a second time to Naples 45 in New York, and Via Napoli's pizza is still better. I don't understand how that happens. But it does, and I can't understand how a flagship restaurant in the middle of Manhattan can survive with pizza that's not as good as Via Napoli. But Via Napoli is definitely my favorite as well, without question. My worst is hard in Epcot because so many of the restaurants are just kind of average.
They just kind of exist.
I haven't been at Coral Reef in ages, so I can't. I don't even want to put that among the options, just because I don't think I have a valid opinion on it one way or the other. I might go. As hard as it is to say this, I might go with Le Cellier.
Oh,
just
is
because
it pricing?
It's value for what you get.
Yeah,
I mean the food is fine. It's not the best steak you can get on property.
It has also gone downhill in an unimaginable way. It is bad now. It is.
And the pretzel bread that is so good, you can get at Top of the World Lounge.
The cheese soup is available at Food and Wine.
You can get all of the pretzel bread you want on the buffet at Beer Garden. So there's nothing really – it's such a small restaurant. The ceiling is low. It's very claustrophobic to me, and there's nothing redeeming about it.
Well, mediocre, honestly. Overrated.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
Now, it is called Le Cellier, which means it's in the basement.
Right.
But and that was just a funny thing. That's it. food-wise, since they put it to a two-credit dining plan product, it's completely gone downhill. The service is still great. I'm not going to bash the service. That's not at all where it is. The fact is you can go there, you can still get really good food, but value, 100%, it doesn't even stack up, especially steak-wise. And I'm a steak guy. When you're looking at even steaks within Epcot, it doesn't even rank in the top three. But for my worst, unfortunately, I have to go right next door to the Rose and Crown. UK, the fact that you can go in and get fish and chips at a gigantic price when you can just go outside to the quick service and get better, fresher fish and chips, I think that's really a negative.
Well, that's because you ordered the wrong thing, that's all. It's like the head on shrimp and then you complain that the head is on.
I went to Rose and Crown a couple weeks ago. I was not impressed.
I went to Rose and Crown last year, and my opinion, we made a late reservation. We sat outdoor on the patio. The food was good. I was actually kind of impressed. I was a bit surprised that it was better than I expected it to be. I think the value for what you get is reasonable, and the seat that we had for Illuminations was unbelievable. I mean,
but that's the difference. Is are you going to the restaurant for the Illumination seat, which is one of three restaurants you can go to, or are you there for the food?
Well, but like I said, we were there for Illuminations, but the food was surprisingly good. And it's I thought the price was pretty reasonable as far as World Showcase restaurants go. So all in all, I thought it was a good value. It wasn't the best food in World Showcase, but it was decent. I'd go back.
I didn't do a worst. My worst, Eckershush.
I still haven't been.
Royal Banquet Hall.
Yeah, I have been, Beth.
Big pile of garbage that makes me want to vomit. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
The fact that they call it a buffet, and then you go in there and it's just the appetizer, and then you'll get three courses to choose from. And I actually had it where I chose the chicken, and the server was like, well, do you want the meatballs? The meatballs are really good. And I'm like, but I would like the chicken. And she's like, no, I'll bring you the meatballs.
Yeah.
And then if it's not good, let me know. And by that point, you don't want to be rude. But the meatballs aren't that good.
No, they're not. It's disgusting. Disgusting food.
I know I'm the one that turned most people on to Via Napoli. And Via Napoli is still my second favorite. There's a restaurant I like better now. It's right next door. It's Tutto Italia. This, when it opened, I panned horribly on the show because I had a horrible experience there. And also it replaced Alfredo's, my beloved. And
it was expensive, though.
It was over severely, severely overpriced. And it was just pasta. That's all they were doing. Since then, it is much more than just pasta. They revamped the menu. The pricing's a little better. And everything I've had here, antipasta, everything far above and beyond. This in Via Napoli, it's hard for me on any given day to choose which one I want to go to. But I think Tutto just has a better mix. Napoli is just really the pizza. There is the chicken parmesan dish, which I think is really good, too. But Tutto, there's several dishes there that I really like to go get a lot. And to keep things going quickly, where's Spice Road Table? The restaurant is called Spice Road Table, and nothing has spice. It is flavorless. Also, it's an easy target. So, yeah, anyway. Very quickly, I want to go counter service. Just keep it as short as possible, ladies and gentlemen. Counter service, Epcot, best and worst.
My best, Electric Umbrella. I've never had a bad meal there. Incredibly well laid out.
Have you eaten there?
Oh, my goodness.
That was my go-to when I was working down there.
I mean, it's the go-to burger place. If you want a burger, it's
solid,
like
that's a good solid meal.
If you want to go to the bathroom halfway through your meal, then it is indeed the go-to place.
My worst is the Fife and Drum. I just can't stand a restaurant that puts a steak on the menu.
You mean Liberty Inn?
Is it the
indoor
right,
one?
Sorry.
Fife and Drum's the little cart outside. The booth. Yeah, that steak is awful.
Yeah, I'm gonna second that. Liberty Inn, worst. Worst. Best, Sunshine Seasons. I like the variety there. I always can get something good. Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
You had the tacos? Fish tacos?
Yes.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Real good.
Really good. Love everything there.
See, I think Sunshine Seasons is probably the best. The problem is there's not a lot of competition. You know, you can always find something decent at Sunshine Seasons, but that's almost because it's like a food court, not a restaurant. So it's kind of unfair.
Good variety.
Yeah, but I would actually say the burger that I had at Liberty Inn was much better than the burgers at Electric Umbrella. I actually really like the burger at Liberty Inn. So, you know, it's tough to say, you know, any of those places are better than Sunshine.
Should you be getting a burger at Epcot, though, I think is
true.
An existential argument we can have on this show.
Hey, Ashley?
I agree with Dustin. Electric Umbrella is my favorite. And I really don't have a worse because I either, if I'm looking for quick service, I just go to Electric Umbrella because it's fast and it's good, or I go to table service.
Yeah, and Sunshine Seasons was okay the last time I was there, but I just wasn't impressed. Electric Umbrella will always have at least the burger, and, you know, they add things every so often, but for me, it's the French dip burger. absolutely amazing.
It's a good burger. My best is Sunshine Seasons. It's so good. And I don't know if I have a worst. I haven't had bad counter service in Epcot. I guess I've been lucky. But I've also never eaten at the Liberty Inn, so...
Anyone else? Is just me now?
I think that's it, yeah. Yeah, Tom? Yeah.
Worst, Germany. It smells awful. It just smells bad. I don't want to eat here. I haven't eaten here, but I'm going just on the smell that is driving me from ever eating at the restaurant.
That's fair.
And no one has mentioned, and this isn't even going out on a limb, the single greatest counter service possibly at Walt Disney World is in this park. The bakery in France.
Oh, yes.
That croissant sandwich, the quiche, the bacon roll, the pastries, the lobster bisque.
Yeah.
I eat here like twice a month now. It's unbelievable. It's so good. This is it's a hidden gem.
It's a good choice.
It really is, and it's so hard in a park that has such good table service to want counter service. But this is so good that it makes me not want to eat table service at Epcot.
All right. Well, Tom, our in-depth dining discussion will have to continue in our post-game show. If you're listening on 1520 WBZW or online with us there, you're going to want to switch over to listen.wdwnt.com very, very soon to watch and listen to our post-radio show episode where we finish up our in-depth dining discussion. But, Tom, we only got a few minutes left, yes. And there are some people out there who hate you. And we have to let them voice their opinion. Most of it is regarding your rumors confirmed ? Guardians of the Galaxy to replace Towers of Terror, Captain America launch coaster coming. David writes in, not happening. That rumor completely made up.
Since then, other reputable sites have picked it up, and it's also now on Slash.
That's nice, Tom. Kevin, other than phrase, according to sources, what part of this article confirms anything? You said yourself, many years away, you have no information as to how they will accomplish it, so what exactly are you confirming?
There's a question mark in the title.
Maddie writes in, me and all my friends would absolutely be heartbroken. Plenty of Californians would definitely care, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about here. Californians love Tower of Terror.
Have you met Californians? We've had Zoe on this show before. She doesn't care.
Did this writer actually type the Tower of Terror in California has never been beloved or admired as much as the original attraction in Florida? Yes. Yes, he did. Well, we will care, Tom.
Did you? Because you didn't come still in 2004 to DCA even after they opened it.
Sadie writes in, I'm just shocked they bothered reporting it since it doesn't affect WDW.
We are the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news, of course we are.
Christine writes in, this is BS. The tower is the most popular ride in DCA.
Radiator Springs Racers, California Screaming, Soarin' Over California, Toy Story, Midway Mania.
Disney Mom writes in, who said Tower of Terror in California has never been as beloved or as admired as the original attraction in Florida? The wait times are always insane here, and it's many people's favorite ride. This is an opinion and a lame one. Claire writes in, if you put the question mark after confirmed, that's not confirmed. It's still a rumor. Kevin writes in, so the author's asking the reader if this article confirms the rumor? It obviously does not. It doesn't confirm anything. The author knows that. So why imply that in the headline? It's clickbait based on devaluating and delegitimizing the reporting on the website. There are a lot of people who hate you.
You can you could take away credibility from me when my story stopped panning out.
Damian writes in, F you, Tom, I care. Leave Tower alone. Non-believer writes in, I really like the pictorials on this site. That's why I keep coming back. Despite the ridiculous rumors you post. Tom, we're out of time for this week. Go to WDWNT.com for more.
Oh, boy. And remember, kids, thank you for flying Star Tours. Bye-bye.